Lord and Father in heaven, we just bless and praise you. Lord, we ask earnestly that we be inspired by your Holy Spirit. The words I speak will come from you. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got two little readings this morning. One's from Matthew 3:13-17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Second reading is from John 20, verses 21-22. Again Jesus said, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. With that he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. Last week, I kept saying, smile, didn't I? Yeah, it's infectious, isn't it? If you smile at somebody, they smile back at you. While we were up London Bridge yesterday, it was really good. People would come up to us and we would be speaking to them. And sometimes they'd be really down. You could see they were down. And you smile at them. And all of a sudden they lit up. Rose especially, there was a gentleman. He went to put something in the pot and he was like this. And Rose came, a lovely smile. And all of a sudden his whole face lit up. So smiling is a great gift. It really is. And it doesn't matter how bad you feel and how bad the world is to you, if you can smile through it, you feel so much better. You really do. Now, the purpose of this sermon this morning is moving forward. Now, moving forward is very difficult without the Holy Spirit working within us. We can look at ourselves as a church and say, I've said this before, so you'll have to forgive me. Are we safe? I'm sure we are safe. Do you feel comfortable? We're all sitting comfortably. We shouldn't be really. We should be wriggling our seats. We shouldn't be comfortable. We should be earnestly thinking, what comes next? Now, we want a new pastor, don't we, to come here. And we want him to do miracles here, don't we? We want him to change things and do this and do that. But is that really what the Bible says? The Bible actually says, in Corinthians, Paul writes, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, doesn't he? And he says one of them is being a pastor. But the rest of them don't. And he says we should all earnestly ask for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, we will want a pastor because we want somebody to lead us and to guide us through those gifts of the Holy Spirit so we can all work together. If we don't, this church will stand still. Pastor or no pastor, doesn't matter how good he is, we will stand still. So I want to share with you what happened in the early church. First of all, Jesus wasn't heard of for 30 years, was he? He was working as a carpenter in Nazareth. And not a lot happened during that time, or not that we know. I think I'm ringing a little bit there, Santosh. Could you turn me down just a little bit, please? But all of a sudden, Jesus walked out into the desert, down to the River Jordan, and there was this chap called John. Now, John must have had a very special gift because people listened to him and people repented of their sins and were baptized. Now, what did John have that lots of other people didn't have? He had the Holy Spirit. I'll actually read another version of the first passage which I read earlier on with from Matthew. So I'll read from John 1:29-34. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him. But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel.'" Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God." We see straight away the Holy Spirit spoke to John and told John that Jesus was the Son of God. He actually spoke. The Holy Spirit spoke. Now Jesus then had lots of ministry. He actually told people about the Holy Spirit. He told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that's a very difficult passage to understand. So I'm not going to explain it now. Otherwise we'll be here till a little bit longer than we should be. But Jesus actually said we had to be born again with the Holy Spirit. Jesus died, Jesus rose, and then was seen by his disciples for several days. And he was seen by quite a lot of people. One day they went down to the River Jordan, and as you know the story about the fish, and Jesus called the disciples to him, close to him, and then he breathed on them. And he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. Now, I believe that's a stage where several of us could be in. Jesus has breathed on us. We've asked him into our hearts. Jesus has breathed on us. We've received the Holy Spirit. But have we received the next stage? The actual baptism of the Holy Spirit. God's fire within us. And we can see that straight away in Acts chapter 2, can't we? Where the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples. And everything changed in the church. When Jesus breathed on them, nothing happened. But the Holy Spirit then came in power. And the disciples were able to stand up and pronounce the word of God. They were unlearned people, but they knew God's word because the Spirit was speaking in their hearts. Peter was speaking and people thought he was really learned, come from university and all the rest of it. But he wasn't. He was a fisherman. The disciples had waited quite a while in fear, and they say in trepidation, don't they? In fear and trepidation, not knowing what was going to happen to them because Jesus has left them. They believed and trusted in him, and the forces, the Romans and the Jewish people, were out to get them. So they didn't know what would happen. But this Holy Spirit came upon them and they were empowered. Now, soon after Rose and I got married, we both came from different churches a long way apart. So we didn't really know what to do. And so we were looking for a church local to us which we could join. That was the wrong way of doing things. We should have let the Lord come to us, which he did several times afterwards. And one church we went to, we had our Smile Jesus Loves You patches on, and we were told by the minister there, because we were witnessing to people, telling them about Jesus and telling about his love and telling them about the Holy Spirit and the strength, and all of a sudden we had a word in our ear, "Oh, the Holy Spirit is not now. It was 2,000 years ago, and that was the last time. Do not speak of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we didn't stay there long. That was the last time we went there. So we went along to another church. Now, this was the church we shared to you where Rose and I were singing in the back, and the vicar's wife actually told the vicar, stop, these people at the back are singing right and you're singing wrong, and we wanted to climb under the seat. But actually it ended up that we led the worship there for several years, and we were truly blessed. But in that church, there was a lay reader. And the vicar went away one day and left it to the lay reader. And what did the lay reader say? He actually condemned the Holy Spirit that wasn't there. And that was hard to sit and listen to, I must admit. And that's the sort of thing that can happen. The Holy Spirit wasn't for 2,000 years only. The Holy Spirit is for everybody who believes and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I first became a Christian, I still found it very difficult to understand the scriptures, etc. My life completely changed, but I found difficulty in understanding the scriptures and moving on. And then one day, the Lord blessed me, and actually 3 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden something came upon me. I don't know if I can how to explain it, but it was a wonderful feeling of joy, euphoria, and love actually filled me. And I had my Bible in my hand. All of a sudden, the words of God jumped out at me. I could understand them. And the Lord then started using me in ministry. This was quite a long time ago. I was a lot younger then. So this is something that happens. A very similar thing happened to Rose. If you speak to her, I won't tell you what happened to her, but a similar thing happened to her as well. We weren't married at the time. This was before we met. Right, let's move on. After Paul was on the road to Damascus, the Lord spoke to him, didn't he? And he became blind. And he wandered on to Damascus, and off they went. He was having to be led. But a disciple called Ananias was told in a vision to go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, find Paul, lay hands on him, and restore his sight. I'll read you the passage it came from. Something really happened here. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me to you so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with his disciples in Damascus. After a few days, Paul, after spending time with the disciples, went out and preached that Jesus was the Son of God. What had happened to Paul? He'd received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not just with water, he'd received the power of the Holy Spirit upon him. His whole life went round in a circle. He went from condemning the Word of God to preaching it. And where did the words come from? He was preaching, but straight away he went out in the streets and was telling about people about the Lord Jesus. Where did all this come from? It came from the Holy Spirit speaking into his heart, into his mind. It empowered him. Doesn't matter. He all of a sudden, who's this person Saul, or whose name was changed to Paul? Who is he? He was leading people that believed in this Jesus to be stoned, to be killed in different ways. He even stood, didn't he, and watched Stephen stoned to death. And the Bible says he approved. But all of a sudden, he could see Everybody around knew Paul. He had changed quite dramatically. I'm going to go back to where we started from. Jesus walked into the Jordan, was baptized. What happened? The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus. And the Father in heaven was so pleased and told everybody all the way around, "This is my Son, who I am well pleased." And what happened to Jesus straight afterwards? He went into the desert, obviously for a time of quietness. And the devil tried to tempt him, got nowhere. And Jesus came out of the desert, and his ministry was completely transformed. There was a Jesus there, full of the Holy Spirit, full of God's power. The Son of God was actually speaking to people. How do we know? We've got the Bible. It tells us all about it, what Jesus did. I'm going to jump forward again. The early church. Now there's Paul, which I've just spoken to. Full of the Holy Spirit, full of God's word, full of strength. And he was in the church at Antioch. And there was disciples there. They fasted, they prayed, and laid hands on them. That was Paul and Barnabas. They laid hands on them. And Paul and Barnabas, as the Bible says, they were sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was strengthening them, leading them. During Paul's journeys, one specific item, which was, I'm going to read you from Acts 19, 1 to 7 now. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Now, Ephesus, in those days, was a massive city. A few of us have actually had the honour of being there. And it takes an hour to walk through it. It was so big in those days. It was a massive port and a massive city. It was a city, they've been told, of a third of a million people, even in those days. It was a big city. So Paul arrived at this massive city. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Now, this two baptisms I had a problem with. Even after I became a Christian, I was baptized as a baby. Why did I need to be baptized again? And it was Rose, actually, after we married, because she was going to be baptized again, actually led me to join her. So that was something special between us as well. You see, the first baptism is a kind of Jesus breathes on us by the Holy Spirit, perhaps. Perhaps our first baptism, when we've come to Christ, we step into the waters and Jesus has breathed upon us. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will come upon us straight away at that time. As babies or younger people are baptized, I believe that Jesus breathed on the child, and something special is going to come later. Something special came later upon me. Before I was baptized again, but it was great to be able to come out of the waters of baptism and tell people what Jesus had done for me. A very special thing he had done for me. He had changed my life. I wasn't a very nice person before I became a Christian. Perhaps I'm not the best of people now because I'm still a sinner. But Jesus really did change my life. Now, if we read the Acts of the Apostles, Paul, in his ministry, did many miracles. How? He didn't do it by his own power. He did them through the power of the Holy Spirit. People were healed. I think even people were raised from the dead. And people knew and believed in the Lord Jesus through miracles that Paul did. Now, I know this was the early church, but you must have heard of things happening today. The same sort of thing. And they do happen today. I've been witness of them happening, you know, recently, within the last few years, of the Lord really working through today's church. Are we a church that believes and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, have heard his word, like that church that Paul visited in Ephesus? Small church. We're only a small church. Are we going to allow the Lord to descend upon us in his glory, in his strength, and move forward? Or are we going to stay safe? We can be safe, can't we? We can sit here, we'll come along every Sunday. It's really nice to meet our friends. Or be friendly. Oh, it's lovely. We're safe, we sit comfortably. Listen to the preacher. Sometimes let it go in one ear and out the other ear. I'm just as guilty as anybody, isn't it? But do we want to be safe? Do we want this church to move forward? I do. I believe this church can come to great things. But we've got to believe in it. Paul said in the 1 Corinthians about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why do you think he was telling them about that? Because the church he visited in Corinth hadn't quite got things right. They were probably worshipping God, but they weren't very happy with each other, and they were safe. So Paul wrote them a letter and telling about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he wanted that church to really grow. And it did. It must have done. That church in that, those churches in the areas in Ephesus and all around Asia Minor really spread, didn't they? And God's word really spread out. Because the Holy Spirit came upon them, they desired the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We must desire them. Do you want God to work in you? I praise the Lord for that. That's it. Do we want God to work in each and every one of us? Have we got his strength to do it? Without the Holy Spirit, it's very difficult. I've known of several ministers who actually know Jesus but haven't received the strength of the Holy Spirit. And then afterwards, they've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Their ministry has changed. There was a minister I knew as a child. Now, at that time, he hadn't received Jesus as his saviour. I didn't know that at the time. He told me years later when I met him. But when when Rose and I got married, we went to a place of music and worship at Whatcombe House down in Devon. And we met this chap's wife. I don't know if I told you before, but this is such a transformation, I've got to share it with you again. His name was John Shillicker. He's still around. And we met his wife. And what a difference in her! I met her as a 16-year-old in church. They used to run the youth club. He was a he was a minister in the church I was. And anyway, she shared with Rose and I how God, first of all, they'd asked Jesus into their lives, which they had. He was a minister. They'd asked Jesus into their lives as a minister, and then asked for the Holy Spirit and got it. They asked it, they desired it. And their ministry really transformed. Their church was really alive. So alive, I mean, Rose was used to become part of an ecclesiastical church kind of dance group where they used to dance for the Lord. It was something really beautiful. She still does it occasionally, and it's something really worshipful. And they went up to this church, and they were blessed. The church that Rose went to in Collier Row, the minister there, was spirit-filled. What a difference if you go to a church that's spirit-filled. Now, I'm sure you've been to churches which the minister actually proclaims the word of God, but there's something missing, isn't there? And have you been to another church when somebody tells you about Jesus and tells you about the word of God, it's alive? What's the difference? That person has the Holy Spirit. Now, we find it very difficult, perhaps, to speak to people about Jesus. I do at times. I find it very difficult, perhaps, to speak to children about Jesus, but I find it easier speaking to older people. The Holy Spirit has enabled me to do it without fear. I know when I have to speak to somebody because I get a longing to speak to them. It might be somebody in the street, it might be a friend, it might be a family member, it might be anything at the time. I'm actually felt that it's right that I speak to them about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is leading me. It's never too late to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. I think, again, please apologise. I actually shared with you some time ago about an 84-year-old. Her name was Victoria. And she came to Rose and I. She came from the African church that we went to for 5 years, where we were asked to minister to them in song and word. And she said, I would like to speak in tongues. She's 84 years old. That's difficult, isn't it? What do you do about that? I said to her, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? She says, I'm not sure. Now, our little shop in Grays is a little bit difficult ministering to people, so we asked if we could come to her home. And we went to her home, and we prayed for her. And as far as we knew, we didn't see a lot, though she did, if you like, pass out in the Holy Spirit, because Rose caught her. And so we didn't really know what happened. But 2 days later, she came into the shop. And all of a sudden, she started saying these wonderful words, the tongues of the Lord. She said, I can actually speak in tongues. I can pray in tongues. And I feel so full of God's love. She'd been baptized with the Holy Spirit, 84 years of age. I don't know if we have anybody 84 or plus here, but you're not too late. So what I'm asking now, as I finish, God's Holy Spirit did come 2,000 years ago upon the disciples. God's Holy Spirit can come today upon these disciples, us. We're disciples of Christ. If you don't know whether you've received the Holy Spirit or not, you haven't. If you've received the Holy Spirit, you will know, honestly. God's love will really fill you. So if you would like to experience God's love through the Holy Spirit, desire it. I was fortunate. I prayed, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you have to be prayed for. And if you feel like you would like to be prayed for, don't hesitate. Ask somebody to pray for you. I will pray for you. There's other people in this church that will pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. Don't miss out. It's wonderful. It really is. You will have the strength of Jesus Christ within you. Okay, let's pray. Lord and Father, blessing to you. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we just pray, Lord, as we quietly sit or stand in front of you now. Lord, we pray that this whole church now can be filled with your Holy Spirit. The tongues of flames can touch each and every one of us, just like the church in Ephesus, when Paul prayed, the Holy Spirit descended, and the church was empowered. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for Jesus, our Lord, our Saviour. Blessing to you in his holy name. Amen.